Morgan Kimbaro.
Kevin, how's it going?
What's up, dude? Welcome to the show.
Glad to be on.
We've been trying to make this happen for a while.
We have, haven't we?
I was on your podcast like, what, a year ago?
Yeah, like 6 months ago.
6 months? Yeah. Yeah. That was a good podcast. We shot at March and Ash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's up, man? Tell everybody, people who don't know you, a little bit about yourself.
All right. So I'm Morgan Kimbaro. I have my own podcast, Inspire Your Life. You can find me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, all of them. The podcast is centered around self-development, right? How you can live the most empowered life that you can live, right? Whether that's in business, faith, entrepreneurship, fitness, music, creative arts, right? So bringing on people like yourself that are doing outstanding things in their lives and showcasing that and having people see that and be inspired to dream for more, right? Live for more. Because I just think in this world, there's an epidemic of depression, anxiety, right? A lack of self-confidence where people are not living their best life, right? They're being held back from something, right? Mentally. And, you know, for me, I was called to do it.
Yeah.
As we've talked about it, you know, in a past life, I was involved in politics and really got branded as the politics guy.
Yeah.
And that was really the only space, the only right area that I was speaking on was in politics. And I wanted to speak about more, right? I'm a guy that works out, gets up very early, works out. I'm a guy that's, you know, has military experience. I'm somebody that's worked in cybersecurity. I've done a lot of interesting things in my life, and people have reached out to me for advice and guidance and mentorship. And I just figured, okay, if enough people are reaching out to me just within my internal network, there's probably more value that I can give the world. And so that was the inspiration behind Inspire Your Life.
Yeah. And it's a really great podcast. There's a good mission behind the podcast, but also your network is crazy. Like, it's so funny when I meet somebody new in San Diego, I'll like add them on Facebook or Instagram, like, oh, Morgan, mutual friends, you know? So how do you network so much? I mean, how do you go to a lot of events? Like, we met at an event through Dan Fulkerson. Yeah. Shout out to Dan Fulkerson. I feel like we shout him out on the podcast more than anybody. But yeah, we met Dan, or through Dan. And so how many events do you go to? Like, what's your skill set behind networking?
Well, let me preface this with a quote, right? Jim Rohn said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? So the law of attraction, who you surround yourself with, is very, very important and valuable and is going to bring out the best in you. So for me, just putting myself out there, right? Going to events, going to places that are new and foreign, and just striking up conversations is so valuable. I mean, we're the laptop economy. I mean, you own your own business. I work for a corporation. I work on my laptop, right? Work from home.
Yep.
And so you can get siloed if you don't put yourself out there, right? You can just find yourself being isolated. For me, I like to say I'm an introverted extrovert, right?
Yeah.
I
would say that's a really good way to put it, because you are very introverted, but you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Is that uncomfortable for you?
Well, I think, I don't know. You know, it can be.
Yeah.
But you have to build that muscle. It's just like with anything. You start working out, you don't have that strength yet, right? You don't have that callus, and you get stronger, right? So, you know, sidebar, you know, I was always a little socially awkward growing up, had ADHD. And so that kind of caused me to maybe act out in social situations. And then there was like a medical component to it, mm-hmm. right? With the Adderall and Concerta that I think kind of threw my, you know, budding hormones developing as a kid, right?
Dude, I was misdiagnosed with like three different things as a kid.
Yeah.
Turns out I was, the diagnosis should have been I was a fucking kid, you
exactly,
know?
Exactly, yeah.
Like just because you don't fit in a box doesn't mean you need to be highly medicated. And I think my argument towards it is like the people who actually make moves in this society aren't the ones that fall in line.
Yeah.
You know, they're people who think differently. They think bigger.
Think bigger,
and
yeah.
And usually the when you look at highly successful entrepreneurs, they usually have risk-taking, personalities. They usually have drug and alcohol abuse, and a lot of them have been to jail, you know? And it's because people just don't fit in this box that was kind of designed by the Industrial Revolution, right?
Yeah.
Like put people through the school system to then go work in factories, right? Follow a bell, show up, raise your hand, ask to go to the bathroom, stuff like that. So I mean, you said Ritalin, like I was on all sorts of medications growing up, Zoloft, all these things, and it fucked me up.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely messed me up too.
Really? Yeah. How so?
Yeah, I just would act out, you know. I was a hyper kid.
Yeah.
You know, was played sports, right? So that was a good outlet for me. But I don't know, man. I just couldn't really interpret social situations that well. I was always socially awkward. And so definitely, you know, got maybe bullied here and there. But yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just part of my childhood. And I don't regret it by any means. Like, I am the person I am today because of what I've gone through and those experiences. And I've developed myself personally and socially, right? And that's through putting myself out there, actually reading books about how to be engaging, how to be conversational, right? How to, you know, develop rapport with people,
yeah.
Right? To not be talking about oneself, you know, right? Interested is interesting,
yeah.
Right? Meet you like, Kevin, what do you do?
Yeah.
What does it take for you to be good at something, right? And so I think that's really important too, is just, something I read or listened to on a podcast is that, you know, if you go to people go to a networking event, they're like, okay, I'm going to try to talk to as many people as possible. That's one way to go about it. Or, you know what, try to strike up a conversation and have 5 to 10, 15 minute conversation with somebody and really develop the rapport and relationship with that person, as opposed to like, okay, I'm going to try to talk to as many people as possible. And don't just come it from it from the aspect of, okay, what can this person give me? Or how about how can we collaborate or help each other? Or even just say, how can I help this person? So networking is extremely important. I think you've heard the term, right? It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
And so you surround yourself with people that are driven. That's going to rub off on you, as opposed to like surrounding yourself with people that just want to go out every weekend to the same bars, chase women, get drunk, right? We've talked about that on my podcast.
Yeah.
Right? And right? Like Jim Rohn says, right? You are the average of the person you spend. You are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So if that's who you're surrounding yourself with, you're going to find yourself developing those habits.
Right. Yeah. No, it's totally true. Yeah. And, you know, based on what you're saying about how to communicate with people and showing interest in them, sounds like you read How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Dale Carnegie. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the best books ever. If you have not read How to Win Friends and Influence People, I would order it right now and set that as your number one priority to read at least 20 pages a day, get through it in a week or so. And it's an excellent book, and it changed my life, you know, and it's true. You know, people like talking about themselves, and they like when somebody shows interest in themselves, you know what I mean? And when somebody shows interest in somebody else, right? So my podcast is so big. People want to come on and talk, right? They want to tell their own story. And maybe I started it because I like to talk about myself. I don't know. But so let's talk about your military background a little bit. So you're in the Marine Corps Reserve. You're currently a commander in the Army Reserve, which is just crazy. But how old were you when you joined the military, and what was that like when you went in the Marine Corps?
Yeah, so a little background about that is when I graduated high school, I ended up playing college football at a junior college for 2 years, right? I had dreams of making it to the NFL. I had this delusional, optimistic goal of like, hey, I'm going to play in the NFL. And actually, I played with Josh.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the guy that helped build this whole studio. Yeah. Shout out to Josh Jacko.
Yeah.
Funny because you came here when we first met, and we went upstairs and something was like, I got to introduce him to Josh. And then you're like, wait, I think I played football with this guy. And he was like, yo. And then you guys reconnected.
So I was like, wait, that Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Josh who we, you know, I played linebacker. He played cornerback.
Yeah.
Right. He was amazing. Right. And one of the most solid guys on the team. Just amazing player, amazing person. Right. You know this. And through meeting you, we reconnected 10 years later, 11 years later.
Yeah.
So just crazy how it all comes about, right? The way that God works.
Yeah, it's funny how those signs kind of happen and you know, you get pointed in the right direction and reconnected right at the right time. You know, it's weird, but it's cool.
Absolutely. So anyways, so I played football for 2 years, ended up not being able to get a scholarship, right? And so I was looking for like the next way forward. And so my brother, my middle brother, he had joined the Marine Corps in 2012, right out of high school. And I wanted that next challenge, right? I just played college football with some, you know, some of the top talent in the land, people that ended up going to the NFL, people that went to D1 colleges and played. And like, you know, I played with the creme de la creme, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to be the best, right?
Yeah.
So it's the Marine Corps. And, consider doing an active duty contract and then you know, the recruiter steered me away. Okay, you've already done 2 years of college. Why don't you try to go in as an officer, enlist? And so then that's what I did. I enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserves. Went to boot camp April of 2013, so I was 20 years old. And yeah, let me tell you, man, that was a transformative experience. Definitely humbling in so many ways, right? Physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
They break you down, right? It's the physical aspect wasn't hard, right? I can run, I can do pull-ups, I can do push-ups, right? But the fact is that you could do everything right.
Yeah.
And you're going to get yelled at. You're going to get broken down in the most harshest of ways, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it's causing you. You know, it's a process, right? They're building, breaking you down and building you back up, right?
Because
if you don't go through, you go through life, right? Just thinking about yourself, right? The well-being of yourself, where it's military, it's how to put others before yourself. And especially in combat situations, that's what you're going to be forced to do, right? So it's a whole... It is brainwashing, but it's getting you in line with the system.
Yeah.
And making you more disciplined, right? Making you more driven, all this, right? So there is a method to the madness. So yeah, anyway, so, you know, enlisted the Marine Corps Reserves, did that for about 4 years, and then ended up transferring over to the Army Reserves with the plan of commissioning, which I did. I was going to do ROTC, but ended up doing OCS a few years later.
For those who don't know, can you explain what OCS is?
So OCS is Officer Candidate School. It is at Fort Benning, Georgia. It's actually a new name. You know, they renamed the bases due to the Confederate generals that were named after.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so that's Officer Candidate School. So for those enlisted soldiers that have degrees, they can go to OCS to get their commission. Or those that are just graduated college and are new to the military, they go through basic, and then right after basic, they go to Officer Candidate School.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Cool. So what did you learn when you were there? I mean, and are you happy you did it that way and you didn't do the, you know, go another way with a contract?
Yeah, I have no regrets, right? That was my path to commission. I learned a lot, and I went through during COVID.
Yeah.
So it's funny, right? Being in the reserve, so I'm doing my normal life, and there was a moment while we were waiting to get picked up because we had to do a quarantine because everybody's coming in all across the country. And, you know, that's when, you know, we had to quarantine for COVID. If one person gets COVID, boom, you know, we have to quarantine that person because we can't have it spread.
Crazy.
And so I'll never forget this, right? I'm scraping mud off the side of a sidewalk, right? Some dumb working party, yeah. You know, and that's what you do in the military. They have you do these menial tasks that, you
washing know, are borderline
degrading. Yeah. And I just start laughing because a few weeks prior, right, in a past life, I was involved in politics, as I mentioned. I'm in this suite with a billionaire,
yeah,
right, downtown, congressman, right, business people, like drinking fancy cocktails, right, like to the nines, man.
Yeah.
You know, and hobnobbing. And 3 weeks later, I'm like scraping mud off a sidewalk.
Isn't that cool, though?
And I'm just, dude, no, I was laughing. I'm like, yeah. This... Like, I could look at this and be, like, depressed, but I'm just like, this is so funny to me.
Yeah.
Right? And my buddy Dan, who I still talk good friends with to this day, and he's like, what are you laughing at, dude? And I tell him, and I'm like, bro, I was in a billionaire suite a few weeks ago, like, sipping fancy cocktails with, like, congressmen and millionaires and billionaires and, like,
yeah.
People in the media. And now look at me, dude, I'm scraping mud off a freaking sidewalk.
Georgia.
And he's like, dude, this is hilarious to me. Like, this is such a crazy life. And he's like, yeah, dude, that's pretty funny.
See, but what you said about perspective is like, you know, one book that is really another book, I guess we're talking about books today, is Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Yeah,
that's a great book.
Yeah. I mean, your perspective is everything, right? Yeah. And Viktor Frankl's thing was basically, look, I'm in the Holocaust, but they can't take away my relationship with God. And they can't take away my perspective, basically. Yeah. Right. And I think that's so important because, you know, you're going to go through challenging times in life. You're going to go through pain that you never even thought was possible.
Yeah.
But when you get through it and you look back on it, you know, you're going to, it's going to be a learning experience. And when you get past it, that whole phrase of this too shall pass,
amen.
You know, when you get past it, you look back and you're almost grateful. Like when I look at when I was at rock bottom before I got sober and, you know, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. But if you asked me that day, I would have been like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
this is terrible, you know. But so when you're in the, you know, in the rain, and you also just came from a pretty luxurious lifestyle, and now you're scraping mud off the ground, you know, humbling, but also perspective, you know?
100%, 100%. Yeah, you know, you learn perspective, and that, you know, and something I have been focusing on lately is gratitude, right? Just the fact that we're here,
yeah,
in this room, alive, that's a miracle within itself.
Yeah.
The fact is, we have our faculties, you know? We can see, we can hear, we can form coherent thoughts, right?
Yeah.
I can get up and work out today.
Yeah.
Right? There's people that are not afforded that luxury, right? Just the fact that we have these things that we take for granted.
Feeling in our toes or hands.
Walk. There's people that are paralyzed. There's people that are, you know, that have, you know, mental health issues. There's people that have, you know, mental retardation.
Yeah. I don't
know if that's the politically correct term these days, but, you know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the fact is that
we're not known to be politically correct here.
So. Okay, good, good. Not to offend anybody, but you know what I'm saying. Right? So, like, those are gifts within themselves, right? And
yeah.
So that's something I try to keep in perspective. And, you know, taking this back, right, we were having this conversation beforehand, is my grandfather and the man I'm named after both served in World War II.
Right.
Right? So my grandfather enlisted at 17, lied about his age, right?
Yeah.
Knew he was going to get drafted.
Right.
Went over to Europe, fought in the Battle of the Bulge, was captured as a POW. So whenever I'm having a day or dealing with something, I don't know, having this moment of whatever it may be, something didn't go my way with a business deal, an opportunity, or some girl, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second. Like, why am I tripping?
Man? Right.
My grandfather, at 17 years old, who was born and raised, right, during the Great Depression,
right,
captures a POW, man, and experienced all this before the age of 19.
Yeah.
And here I am, like, feeling down about myself. I'm like, dude, snap out of it, man.
Yeah.
Like, get a grip, dude. Your life is not that difficult.
Yeah. And again, it's perspective, right?
Perspective,
because, you know, and then also, like, when we look at others, you know, people will look at, like, a billionaire's kid, right? And they'll think, oh, what a little snotty dick bag, right? Because they, you know, they've got the Maybach that they're driving, but they don't seem to appreciate it. And, you know, you look and you think, well, they're happy because they have all this stuff. But they're not, right? Like, they're not happy. They're not fulfilled. So they're feeling the same kind of negative feelings that somebody who's on the other side of the spectrum is feeling. Like, you're in the same... you're in the same vibration, but in a different place. You know, it's perspective on other people and trying to have empathy for others, I think is equally as important, you know?
100%. And, you know, just to make that, you know, to add on to that point is just how nobody decides to be born poor. Nobody decides to be born rich, right?
Yeah.
So we all have our unique experiences of what shape us and form us, right?
Yeah.
We're all unique, right? In God's image. And we all have a purpose and calling and assignment on our life, and all the trials and tribulations you've been through have shaped your character to this moment,
right?
To who you are, right? You right now are all the potential in the world at this moment. And so embrace everything that you've gone through, reflect on it. Don't, you know, don't live in the past, but understand what makes you unique as a person and what you can bring to this world.
Yeah.
Right. And I think is that that's so important. Like your family, right? Who you were born and raised by, right? The impact and influences that you had growing up. Like, delve into that, dwell on that, and see, okay, how can I take all of this culminating experience and who am I, right? What value do I have? What are the gifts and talents I can show to the world?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, that's it, right? And look, we have one life, right? Like, you're here, and I got this tattoo that says, reminder, you're going to die, right?
Yeah,
and
memento mori.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. Yeah. I know people say it's morbid, but then it's like,
no,
but
it's
if I had a memento mori, like, you know. But I look at this every day, and it's like, you know, when I make decisions, a lot of people just sit and let life pass them by, right? And I don't want to do that. I want to have experiences. You know, we just had Taylor Kavanaugh, who was in here just a few days ago, who was a Navy SEAL who joined the French Foreign Legion. He worked in private equity, worked in construction. He's done all this stuff, you know, and that's a guy that knows how to live. And maybe he's chasing something, whatever. But, you know, I think that it's really important to have these different experiences and make sure that, like, you know, like, you're not letting life just go by, right? Because all of a sudden you realize, oh, man, I mean, how old are you?
I'm 31.
Yeah, I'm 31 also. Yeah. So, you know, just thinking about that, like, I feel like I was 21 yesterday. And luckily, I went out and chased after goals and dreams. And, you know, I feel like I could have done more, but I sure as hell could have done less, you know?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people, yeah, it's just crazy what, you know, perspective and also programming, you know? What do you think about, like, the subconscious mind and the programming that we go through when we're younger and indoctrination and all of that? Like, I mean, do you believe that your subconscious mind makes most of your decisions?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I can't give you like a scientific psychological answer. I guess the only answer I can give you is dwelling from my experiences and how I reprogrammed myself from a kid who was graduating high school without many options, right? Graduated like a 2.2 GPA, tore my ACL, right?
Yeah.
And I was in this like depressed state. My friends are going away for college. I don't have any plans really or dreams or ambitions other than, man, I'm going to be at home with my parents. You know, what am I going to do? And so I put this goal in my head to play college football, right? I'm going to try to make the NFL. And I told myself, like, you are going to get up and dominate this day. You're going to get up and dominate this day. You're going to get up and dominate this day. That was what I woke up to. And then there were other affirmations like, I'm going to play in the NFL, or I'm worthy, I'm valuable, right?
Yeah.
And so what you tell yourself, right, is ultimately how you shape your perception of yourself, and how you see yourself is how others are going to start to see yourself.
Right.
It all starts from within. So I definitely think that you can reprogram your subconscious into making yourself into somebody. You know, just today, right? University Club, the bird's eye view. You know, I think of myself at that moment of the lowest low, right? 17 years old, depressed, anxious, didn't know where my life was going to take me.
Yeah.
And now I'm here having lunch with somebody in this bird's eye view. Like, how in a million years did I end up in this place?
Yeah.
Right? How did I end up being the first person in my family to go to college and graduate? How did I end up in the military? How did I end up becoming an officer? How did I end up being the commander of my unit? How did I end up having a podcast? It's like all of these experiences have built upon themselves into who I am today. And it's like I was talking about this at lunch. It's like when people they'll put silos on themselves, like, okay,
yeah,
there's military life, there's civilian life, there's this, that, and the other. It's like, no, it's all just life.
Yeah.
It's all just this one grand thing that you're experiencing, and they all build upon itself, right? From the friendships, relationships you have, the experiences you have in this field and that field, they all build upon themselves, right? And you gain confidence, and they might not be able to be directly applicable to a new situation, but you can apply that skill, right? That belief in yourself, like, hey, so Scott Adams, you know Scott Adams Dilbert?
No, I don't.
Great book. I recommend it. So he wrote a book called How to Fail Almost Everything and Still Win Big. So one of the main takeaways from that book is called a talent stack.
Okay.
Right? So he was a guy that worked in corporate America for 25 years, started these businesses, didn't really go anywhere, but he worked in corporate America, worked in all these different areas, ended up getting his MBA, and built this talent of, okay, I'm not the best at marketing, but I have a top 10% skill in marketing. I'm not the best at sales, but I'm in the top 10%, right? I'm not the best artist, but I can draw like, you know, a little comic. I'm not the best wordsmith, but I have some skill. And so what ultimately ended up giving him the, you know, the fuck you money
was
writing this comic strip, Dilbert, which isn't...
Oh, Dilbert. Okay, Dilbert. Yeah.
So he's the creator
of
Dilbert, right?
Okay.
Well, you know, and from his experiences in corporate America and life, right? So these little pithy sentences, not the greatest quality of art, but that's what gave him the... fuck you money.
Yeah.
Right. And so he calls, I had this talent stack, right? I had an MBA, worked in corporate America, started some businesses. And ultimately what made me ultra successful was this just kind of passion project of starting Dilbert and then
so
pitching
crazy
at the newspapers.
Yeah.
And so he's also a trained hypnotist, and he's a very interesting thinker, right? The way that he looks at things, the way that he diagnoses the media and trends and stuff like that, right? It's very contrarian to how a lot of people think, and controversial, but I love controversial.
Yeah.
We should embrace,
I think,
controversial.
Controversy is healthy too, because, you know, I look at the way that, you know, people are very tribal.
Yeah.
And we like to fight and argue and have our own little little tribes and we do our little war or whatever, you know, and yeah. I think that that's, it's important to be able to break out of that, you know, because our monkey brain wants to revert to the tribal instincts. And, you know, we've evolved past that and we're different people now, you know?
Totally.
So question. So one thing that I know about you is you love to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
And we were kind of joking around about you being like, man, I might go to the NFL because of how you were benching, know? I mean, you benched, what was it? What was your...
Yeah. So I, 225 is the test when you go to the combine of how many times you can rep that out in bench press.
Yeah.
And so around this time, I always like to put 225 on the bench press and see how many times I can rep it out. And I got 23.
Yeah.
And I was a linebacker.
Yeah.
Right? And so the top number this year was 21. I got 23. So crazy. That would have been the top number at this year's combine.
So my question for you, so I know you like to do, adventurous things. Mm-hmm. I know you like experiences. So you're a commander in the military, in the Army. Mm-hmm. Could you go to the Q course?
Oh, for Special Forces?
Yeah. Could you do that?
That's something I could decide to do.
And you would go in, like, you would be signal, right?
Yeah.
In Special Forces, basically.
So basically, it's a whole long process. And granted, I'm in the reserve. So for those that don't know, that's being a part-time soldier. So that is a decision I could make, right? I could try out for Special Forces, go to the Q course, and then figure out where I want to go from there.
Yeah. Would you do that?
I never say never.
Dude, I can see you doing that. Like, I don't know, dude. You're crazy jacked. You know, when I'm at Victory training jiu-jitsu, I see you in there doing Muay Thai. And then after Muay Thai, you're in there doing the stair stepper or the bike. Like, you're a savage, dude. Like, you're in great shape. You're an athlete. And, you know, I think something just pushes people to excellence. And something about that, you know, getting that Green Beret or whatever it is, whether you become a Navy SEAL or Army Ranger, whatever, like, something about that title to yourself, not even to other people, is just such a, I don't know. Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. And but right now, you know, I assumed command back in November. So this is what I'm going to be doing for the next year to a year and a half as I fill out this billet. So that's what I'm focused on right now.
Nice.
You know, I'm definitely not ruling it out. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a consideration. Have a lot of stuff going on, right, with the podcast and some of the other businesses I'm starting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rule it out. Definitely a possibility.
What's the pipeline like for that? 2 years?
It's a year and a half, I believe. Yeah.
Without any delays or anything going on.
Yeah, without any delays. Yeah. And so it's a little bit different reserves. So you can go civil affairs or PSYOPs. It's a little bit of a different process.
Yeah.
But like Green Beret, that's more intensive, as it should be, right?
Yeah.
Green Beret, right? We know what those are. So I've had some friends go through selection. Some make it, some don't. But I mean, it's of course very physical. You got to be in tip-top shape, but it's also, a lot of it has to do with peer reviews, right? How you work with a team, right? Mm. How do you do under pressure as well? So, I mean, it's the creme de la creme, right? You know, Tim Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
UFC fighter too. UFC fighter, like that guy's, you know.
I met him a couple of years ago and I actually talked to him about this too. I was like, yeah, man, I just got my commission and I'm considering, like, you know, if I want to go to Ranger school, like, what could you tell me? And gave me some really good advice of, you know, if I decided to do it, what I should prepare myself for.
Yeah.
But
why didn't you go to Ranger school? It's like, what, 60 days?
It's 60 days, yeah.
Why didn't you go?
Haven't gone yet. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you go through what? Here's
Kevin shaving up my career.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm just like, this is the stuff that I'm interested in, totally, right? Totally. Like, But anyways,
we'll see, man. Maybe on the horizon, maybe not, but here I am right now.
Watch us go through the same pipeline at the same time. How cool would that be?
Yeah, that'd be cool, man.
That's funny. Tim Kennedy, dude. I'd love to get him on the podcast. We got to get him in here.
Yeah.
Tim Kennedy, if you're watching this, pull up. He's a black belt too, jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a fighter.
Yeah, yeah. UFC fighter. He was a savage. Yeah, So talking about Tim Kennedy, you know, he did a lot of work with the withdrawal in Afghanistan. What do you think happened with the withdrawal in Afghanistan?
Well, I think what ended up happening is that there was not a plan, a concrete plan in place. It could have been planned better. don't know if I really want to get into too much of the depths and weeds of my opinion on it, sure. But I just think for the most part, it was, there needed to be a more elaborate planning process to get, to effectively pull out,
right.
And not have it just be a vacuum of, you know, what ended up happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was cool seeing Tim Kennedy go over there and, you know, I mean, yeah. I think that guy's an adrenaline junkie for sure. You know, you ever been skydiving?
I have.
Yeah. Wait, how many times?
3 times.
Really? I've only gone once, but I'm terrified of heights. It's like one of those gut instincts that you just can't, you know, you just can't, it's hard lined into my DNA. You know, if I go to a mall that's got several stories and I look over the ledge, I get queasy, you know, I hate it.
Yeah.
So jumping out of a plane for me was quite the boundary push, but I'm so happy I did it because I was terrified. Everything in my body was like, get me out of this plane when we're going up, and, you know, did it and so happy I did. So what was your first time skydiving like? What happened?
So I went Virginia 2013, right? I think the thing that people don't realize is that most of us have been in planes in our life,
yeah.
Being up in the air and in a traveling box, but most people haven't been in an airplane where the door is open or the window's open.
Yeah.
And so that's a surreal experience, right? Traveling through the air.
When your feet dangle out.
Right. And then they open up the window and how loud it is.
Yeah.
And that's the surreal effect. Like you're going up, like you obviously have the butterflies. But then when that window opens, it's like, okay, I am leaving a perfectly good airplane.
Yeah.
Attached to somebody with a parachute on, right?
Yeah.
And it was, man, I mean, it's surreal, right? Leaving the airplane, right? You just feel that boom. And then I don't know, at least for me, right? For those first 5 to 10 seconds, it's like you're falling. And then... Mm-hmm. It just kind of levels out and it doesn't really feel you're falling anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And it's definitely a life-changing perspective, right?
Yeah.
Facing your fears. We're all afraid of heights, right? When people say they're not afraid of heights, and again, I'm not a psychologist, like we're ingrained to be afraid of heights because if we fall,
survival
we die.
Instinct. Yeah.
Yeah. We fall, we die.
Yeah.
Right. And so to leave a perfectly good airplane and be like, oh my gosh, I am falling down to the earth. And if there's no way to stop me, I'm going to die.
The battle that you have to fight in your mind is unbelievable. You know, so how I went skydiving, you know, my buddy broke up with his girlfriend in Utah. Yeah. I'm sorry, in Colorado. And I had to drive with him. I flew in and we drove a U-Haul from Denver, Colorado to Medford, Oregon, right? Mm-hmm. And so going through there, we went through Moab, Utah. And when we were driving through, I saw this sign that said Skydive Moab. And I'm like, you know what? Hey, Chance, let's go skydiving. Like joking, right? Yeah. Like I didn't think he'd say yeah. And he's like, all right, cool, let's do it. And I'm like, fuck, how do I back out? You know, inside, right? I don't want to go skydiving. I'm terrified of heights. And I'm like, hey, how about this? Let's call my girlfriend. We won't tell her what we're doing. I'm going to say yes or no. If she says yes, we'll go. If she says no, we won't go. So I call my girlfriend. She answers. She's like, hey, what's up? Hey, yes or no? What do you mean? Just yes or no? She says yes. Fuck. Click. Yeah. Hang up. We call Chance's sister. Same thing. She says yes. She's like, so what are you guys doing? We're like, we're going to call you later. So we're like, all right, let's do it. So we roll into this this place. And now I'm thinking, okay, well, we certainly can't just show up and skydive, right? They're going to tell us they're booked or whatever. Nope, they got an open slot leaving in 45 minutes, right? So we sign up. We get in the little pre-class thing. We pay extra for a videographer to, like, go with us and shoot video while we're, like, going down. And so we, you know, we do the little class where they kind of teach you a little bit of the basics, which you're not even really listening to because all you can think about is I'm about to jump out of a plane. And we get in and they put me right next to the window, right? The little plastic thing that rolls up. Yeah. It's like they call it a door, but it's like it's like a piece of Tupperware, like that kind of material it looks like, you know? And I'm sitting right there and I just remember just as we're going up, you know, going over Moab, it's beautiful, but it looks like you're flying over Mars. You know, it was just such a weird thing. And we get up to like 13,000 feet and they open the door. And the dude that I'm strapped to, cause you have to go with somebody, was a Green Beret. Right. Really? So this guy's an adrenaline junkie, got out of the military and now is like a skydive instructor before he goes and does whatever else next. And he's like, you ready, dude? I'm like, no. He's like, all right, let's go. So we swing our feet over. And I remember there was such a weird feeling about when my feet, you know, you're sitting on the edge and your feet, you know, plop out and your feet are just hanging off the edge of this airplane, right? And the wind's blowing and, you know, it's, I'm looking down at my shoes going like, it's crazy. I thought my shoes would just fly off, you know, but they're completely fine on my feet. And we jump out of this plane and I'm so terrified, bro. I am I don't think I've ever been more scared in my life of anything. And the second we left that plane, bliss. It was the weirdest thing. It went from the most amount of fear that I've ever had in my life to the most amount of peace like that. You know, the second we jumped and it doesn't feel like you're falling, you know, when you have a dream and you feel like that quick, like, oh, like that falling sensation. Mm-hmm. That's what I imagine it would feel like. But it was more like we jumped out and we were just stationary. Because when you're 13,000 feet and you're falling, the world doesn't look like it's coming up at you. You know, if you're 80 feet up or 200 feet up, it's definitely going to look like it's coming at you. But it was so peaceful. And we came down and we just floated. And I just remember just like, I mean, when we jumped out on the video, which maybe I'll post a clip of it, but on the video, I literally, as we leave the plane, you see me, because I think he had something tied to his wrist or something, but the camera that's pointing at us, you see me jump out and I immediately go, yeah, fuck yeah. And it was like, I never would have thought that it would be like that. Yeah. And as we landed, he's going, and you know, this guy's sick sense of humor. He's going, oh, fuck the chute, like making me think that the chute's not working. And then he pulls in, we're fine, whatever. And we come in and we land and, man, the most amount of adrenaline that I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was so incredible, but so many other things after my life changed because of that moment, because after skydiving and after going through and challenging my biggest fear, this primal survival instinct, in other points in life, like when I want to go make a business move, you know, I just like when you know it's right, commit.
Yeah.
Right. Like I knew that it was right to go skydiving. I knew I needed that experience, but everything was trying to tell me to stop and stay in this safe space. But going through and surpassing that little voice in your head that tells you to play things safe, I think helps in business. I think it helps in relationships. I think it helps in fitness or jujitsu or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Doing these things that you're scared of that you know you need to do, I think is something that people need to get used to. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to confront our deepest fears, right? And see what's holding us back, right? We all have things that are holding us back. I know I do, right? I know you do. I know Carlos does. I know we all do, right?
Yeah.
There's something that's in our way that's potentially preventing us from achieving our full potential that we have to confront head on, right? We have to take on that dragon, as Jordan Peterson says. And skydiving is a great way to face your fear and just embrace it, right?
Yeah.
And I think you have to embrace the fact that life is full of doubt and fear, and you're never going to know fully what you're doing, right? In any capacity, right? Like, let me rephrase that. There's always going to be uncertainty. There's always going to be uncertainty. There's never going to be a 100% guarantee that anything's going to work out, right? A business, a relationship, anything.
Yeah.
Right? We're guaranteed right now, the moment here.
Yeah.
Right? This is the moment we're living in, the day that we have, that the Lord has given us. And so you definitely have to. I mean, I know as I'm kind of venturing out into starting businesses, this is an area that I'm somewhat unfamiliar with, right? Having worked as a W-2 employee, right? Having worked in the military, having worked in these systems, I know that's where God has wanted me, and I know that I've made a profound and tremendous impact. But now I'm understanding, okay, what is it like to work for yourself and to generate income, right? To generate a business. So that's something that I'm going through and having to humble myself and surround myself with people like yourself, right? People like Dan, people that are successful business owners, and realize there's a lot that I don't know. And there's a lot of uncertainty too of, hey, I could lose some money. I could, you know, fail, be embarrassed.
Yeah.
So I think we just have to embrace that right? Be uncomfortable. Be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes, dude. And again, perspective is everything. So you said, you know, you might fail. You're guaranteed to fail.
What? Yep.
You know, but guess what? Guess what's on the other side of failure? It's figuring it the fuck out.
Yes.
You know, you when you're lifting weights, you push your muscles to failure and then they grow. You know, they go back, they rebuild, they get the proteins and, you know, all the things that they need to grow, and then the muscles grow, right? And it's the same thing in business. Like my first business fucking completely failed, you know, and my first successful business took forever to get off the ground. You have to figure out, I mean, you just, you know, it's like when you ride a bike, what happens the first time? You're not just good at riding a bike. You get on that bike and you fall and you skin your knee up as a kid, and then you learn how to ride and you get better. And then that, I think, just applies to anything in life. Like if you want to do, and this is something that sucks, is I see a lot of young entrepreneurs like in their teens or early 20s start something, create a lot of momentum, but before they can see the payoff that you kind of have to blindly follow this path for a while, like podcasting, like anything, they give up and they go to something else because they think that they should get immediate results.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. And so I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So do you know who Cody Cottle is?
No.
So he's a fellow podcaster, started successful businesses like yourself. I was grabbing coffee with him this morning, and he's a content creator, right? Has a podcast, and he's like, I'm on a 10-year journey of this, right? I've been on I've given myself a longer horizon to be successful at businesses, right? Consistency, right? It's not going to happen overnight. It's a process, brick by brick, right? Overnight success is a rarity, right? Mm-hmm. Rarely does it happen. It does happen sometimes, but most of the time it's, you know, years of grinding and working and building something.
Yeah.
Right. And so consistency, showing up, right? You know, I wouldn't say I believe in this fully, right? You've heard the quote, 90% of life is showing up. I think there's more to it than that. But the essence, the power of that quote, and being consistent.
Yeah. Right?
Showing up. And not giving up. Yeah, there's going to be some days where you make a lot of progress. There's going to be steps back. But on a longer horizon of just keeping on doing it and building it and building it eventually, right? Who said it? The harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah. Dude, right? I mean, you create your own luck
harder,
with it.
The harder you work, the luckier you get, right? Because you create your own opportunities.
Well, hard work beats natural talent when natural talent doesn't work hard. 100%. I don't know whose quote that is. I'm going to have to figure it out and put it in the description or something, but you know, it's true.
A lot of people today.
Yeah, I know. But it's true. You know what I mean? Like if you're, you know, if you're the hardest worker in the room, genuinely, and you know, one thing I like about Alex Hormozi is he's very transparent, very straightforward. And he kind of pokes fun at people who do these crazy morning routines where they're like, I get up at 4 a.m. and I meditate with the sun beaming down on my chakra. And he basically says, yeah, imagine if you took that 3-hour morning routine and just worked in that 3 hours. You know what I mean? And then, you know, that's 21 hours a week, you know, and then you look at that 52 weeks out of the year or, you know, 40 weeks out of the year, whatever you end up working. But that is just an extra amount of time that you have pushing towards the actual goal, getting shit done. And granted, maybe you need a bit of a morning routine to get started and get the day right and push you in the right direction. But he's right. Like the work just needs doing. And that's one of my favorite quotes by Alex Hormozi.
Absolutely. And so just today, right? So I'm a guy that gets up early. As of recently, I've been getting up at 4:15.
Yeah.
But so my old alarm of getting up at 5, I didn't set my alarm for 4:15. I woke up at 5 today.
Yeah.
So within those 45 minutes I've been giving myself, I've been doing meditations, right? Doing some more of the affirmation stuff. Well, I didn't have opportunity to do that today because I had coffee at 7 a.m., right? So I was like, dang it. So got dressed really quick, went to the gym, shortened my workout, still got it in, right? Came back, gave myself time to shower, this, that, and the other, right? And then went to coffee. So, right, I was thrown out of my routine of having to meditate and affirmations, but I was like, okay, I still have to, you know, this isn't going to cripple me, right?
Yeah.
It would have been, you know, with what I can control by giving myself the 45 minutes, I'm able to do that, right? But today I didn't because it was on my fault. I didn't set my alarm. I woke up later than I did.
Right.
I'm still here. I'm still doing what I need to do.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's when you have the opportunity to give yourself that time. Yeah. Like if you can control your routine, do it. But sometimes you're not.
Yeah. Right?
Sometimes you're going to be in a situation where you're on other people's time or you have things to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and things change too.
Things change, of course. And that comes with being resilient and being flexible, right?
Right.
Marine Corps, adapt, improvise, and overcome.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to be flexible too, right? The situation's never going to be ideal.
Yeah.
Right. You still got to deliver. You still got to show up, right?
Well, as Jocko says,
good.
Good.
You know, yeah. Anything, when the fire burned victory down,
good.
Yeah. I was there, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about that. So our gym is Victory MMA and Fitness.
Shout out Victory.
Yeah. Shout out to Victory, Joe, Shannon, Jocko,
Dean Lister, Aaron Pete,
Mike LeMaire, everybody,
all
right?
All those guys.
Yeah. Victory is a great, great, great spot. But I was there the night before and you were there the morning of. And tell everybody what the fire at Victory was like being in there.
Oh, dude. So, you know, I get there first thing in the morning, workout. Gym opens up at 6, right? And so I'm there right when it opens. I'm usually the first or second person walking through the door. And I get there early, do my cardio, do my weights, and then usually try to get back there at noon for a Aaron Pete Muay Thai class. Shout out, Aaron Pete. And, yeah, about 6:30, I'm down in the CrossFit room doing my rower, right? I love that machine. And someone yells from the second story down, like, "Hey, there's a fire." I was like, "Get out! There's a fire!" I'm like, "What?"
Not, "Hey, there's a fire."
Well, it's like it was not. I don't want to say nonchalant, but it's like, "Hey, there's a fire! Get out!"
Yeah, calm and collected, right?
Right, which I guess is good. I'm like, "Oh, what?" And so it took me a moment to register, like, there's a fire. And then I see other people moving. I'm like, okay. So I run upstairs really quick because I got my keys and wallet in there in the locker room.
And the locker room is upstairs.
It's upstairs. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to get my belongings before this place, I have to get out of here. Open up the locker room, boom, just black smoke. I'm like, okay, that's not happening. I'm going to go in there, pass out, and die.
Yeah.
For like, a wallet. Okay, for my wallet and keys. I'm like, wallet and keys, my life. I'm going to choose my life.
Yeah.
And so just ran out. And then, yeah, I mean, the first responders came, right? Our wonderful first responders who put their life on the line, you know, put out the fire. The cops showed up. And it was just a surreal experience, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw it on the news. Thank God nobody was hurt or killed or injured or anything like that. But rebuilding, right? There was a new location in Claremont for Victory. Was there on Saturday, right? Same energy, same people, right? Definitely missed the old location as it's getting rebuilt, but
But now we got two locations, which I think, you know, it's funny, these blessings come into disguise, right? Like the fire was horrible, and when they said first, they were like, oh, we'll be up in like a week. And then they did a little bit more digging and were like, damn, this building's, you know, this building's fucked. Like we're going to have to rebuild. Like, you know, the whole thing's probably going to get gutted. And so, but now we have the new location and, I think that's really good because it gives variety and also parking at Victory MMA and Midway in Point Loma was really, really difficult. I mean, once you kind of figure out the schedule, you know, it's fine. But, again, it comes down to perspective. You can look at that like, damn, like the gym burned down. I have to figure out somewhere to train in the meantime. And there's all this, no dude, like, look, it ended up being a great, you know, we're back. So, yeah. Well, cool. Well, Morgan, can you leave our audience with one last positive message?
Yeah, I would just say for those that are looking to make changes in their life, get up early, you know, get your day started. Tell yourself something good. Work out early. I mean, this is the way I do it. So it's worked for me for years, just starting my day off with just taking action. Take action on something, right? Make your bed, pray, affirm, right? Set a goal and accomplish it. You have value as a person. You are unique from your experiences that you've experienced. You have a skill, you have a calling, you have a purpose, right? You have value as a person. And then it just is up to you to understand where you want to take your life, right? How are you going to be inspired, right? My podcast is called Inspire Your Life.
Yep.
The opportunities are endless and abundant, you know, and this world is pretty giving. This world can be a dark place, a mean place, but if that's what you're focused on, then that's all you're going to find. But if you put yourself out there and affirm like, hey, I want this, I want that, you'll be surprised, right? Of it's like, hey, I'm you, once you get a car, right? You see other cars on the road that are similar.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I didn't realize there's so many more cars driving, you know, so many people driving my own car. It's like, no, it's because you have that in your head now. So if you put your, if you tell yourself, hey, I want this, or I want this job, I want this opportunity, you'll see the world kind of coming about and delivering those things for you.
Yeah.
So, right, tell yourself like, hey, I want this, or I'm going to go get it, and be inspired to live your best life. And I guess I'll just plug my stuff really quick.
Yes, guys, right? Please go to the description wherever, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are, go follow this guy, Morgan Kimbaro. Go follow his podcast, Inspire Your Life Podcast. It is phenomenal. His guests are great. There's one guy on there that was just really good. Kevin Feely. That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was.
No, but really, he does have a bunch of good guests. And where can people follow you?
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram, Morgan Kimbaro, Twitter, Morgan Kimbaro, YouTube, Inspire Your Life, Spotify, Inspire Your Life. You'll find me. If you find another Inspire Your Life, you can just type Kimbaro. I have a very unique last name. But, you know, really appreciate you letting me on the show, man. And
dude, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming. We should have done this a long time ago. So we'll definitely have to do round two. And Morgan, thanks for coming, dude.
You too, Kevin.
Appreciate it, dude.